On today's Restomp podcast, we'll review the sensational start to the season. We haven't been able to say that for a while in Fremantle Docker territory. The win against the Brisbane Lions. That's it. The win against the Brisbane Lions. That's all we're going to talk about. Let's get the Chief on board straight away, right after we start wearing purple with Goggle Bedele.
Start wearing purple, wearing purple. Start wearing purple for me now. All your sanity and wits, they will all vanish, I promise. It's just a matter of time, so yeah.
Welcome to the Restomp Podcast. My name is Brett Jojo McDonald, joined by the birthday boy, a man who likes to keep it quiet. Last Thursday, didn't tell anyone. That is Greg. I'm now 60 years old, Dwyer.
Good on you. Good on you. Hey, what's wrong with you? Man, what a pathetic opening that was.
Well, sorry.
Come on, man. We haven't had a win in round one for about 28 years. And... the win over the Lions. Yep, let's get on with it. That was it. People have been hanging for this, Joe, building it up. The Freo media team have been going bananas about it.
Really? Just, well, so they should. Right. I mean, how many times have we started this? Well, I know we've had a couple of wins, but I mean, well, last year's grand finalists. I don't know. I didn't check the markets beforehand, but I'd assume that we went in relatively significantly underdogs, wouldn't we?
Mm. Yeah, we did. It's not the point. The question is, why are you not up and about it?
Mate, I said, we've been talking about who's had the worst off-season in, out of jail and myself. I think we can well and truly put me in the category of having the worst off-season. And it's translated into round one, unfortunately.
And throw Clayton Oliver into that too. You've had a worse pre-season than those two. So you're doing a pretty tough job, Joe. You've got to live. Hey, guess what? JL can coach again. He knew how to coach in 2022. He apparently forgot how to coach in 2023 and for the first few minutes of 2024. But then he remembered by the end of the first quarter. He can coach again, JL.
Yeah. Well, I don't think he could ever not coach, could he?
No, he couldn't, apparently.
What did you make of it, though? Because the start of the game...
Yep.
I think that there was a couple of soft decisions that went against us, but, you know, you look up the scoreboard. What were we, 4 goals down?
Yep.
You start to think, geez, where's this going to end up?
Well, that was it, wasn't it? There was so much anticipation. There was so much, you know, this time of year we all get hyped up. We're living on hope and we're dreaming of what might have been or what might be, sorry. And then in an instant you were so deflated and... It was like Wayne Harmison. It was like the wide. You know, we're all built up for the Ashes series, and then he balls one off the pitch. That's what it was like. It was so deflating. So, but you're right. It was pretty much our doing. So
well, the Matt Johnson conceding the behind. When we're at the ground, I was pretty upset about it. But you watch it on replay; it's probably there.
Oh, it was absolutely there. I mean, it's in the 9 meters out. There's no argument with it. Hayden Young, the 50-meter penalty.
Yeah. It's another one though. It was soft as, but again, like you watch it on replay at the ground, the emotion takes control. But you watch it on replay, like 100% there.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So there was that, and then Ethan Hughes, 3 in a row, clang, clang, clang. It was a construction site.
I thought you were quoting White Men Can't Jump there for a second.
It was a bit of a reference. Yeah. But Caleb, early on, he coughed up a couple. So it was sort of, it was our doing that they were 4 goals in front. So.
And I felt as well that towards the end of that little period where, like, we were playing poorly and they, you know, it did feel like at the ground their pressure was pretty good. Like, we were kind of under the pump. I know it was largely our own doing, but we were under the pump. They were right up and in, like. Right in our faces. I thought they could have actually kicked away and been further in front. And had they taken some of those opportunities, I wonder what would have been. And you think about the week before, how far they were in front of Carlton, then folded like a cheap suit and gave up the win in the end.
Yep.
I don't want to talk down the victory, but there's something not quite right at Brisbane.
No, we were talking about that. Was it I don't know if it was on the last pod or we were talking about just off air, but during the week. But there's a chink in the armour there. There's something not – there's a weakness there at Brisbane, isn't there? Whether it's mental or what, but there's something not right there because you can't make the grand final last year and then give up – twice, 2 weeks running, they've given up eight goals in a row. Mm. So after being in front, boy.
Is that what we kicked in a row?
Yeah, we kicked eight in a row.
Yeah, right.
Eight in a row before, and then they got one. So, yeah, there's a definite weakness there, but you got to take advantage of it, Jojo, and then that's what we did.
We absolutely did. I thought it definitely started in the middle. Nat Fyfe, I know he didn't get 46 touches, but he was enormous in the middle of the ground.
It's no coincidence that sort of hard-nosed win, you know, coincides with him back in the middle, fully fit, raring to go. I think we all underestimated and forgot what he's still capable of over the last couple of years.
I don't think that's fair. I don't think anyone saw that. No, people I don't did. Think so.
You did. You wanted him off and gone. You didn't even want to sign him up again.
Because of his body. And I'm still not 100% sold he's going to make it, like, through the season. Surely you're not either. But you can see when he is fit. Like, him, how combative he is, how physical he is in the centre and what that adds. And at the game, I was kind of talking to my dad about it. And he's like, this would be the first time, really, when you think back. You know, if he goes and digs the footy out, look at all the quality he's got around him. Like, he hasn't had this kind of calibre of player. And the depth of that kind of caliber of player around him really, and people can't, I'm sure, will correct me on this or argue it, but I don't think we've had that good a compliment to Nat Fyfe in the time he's been at Freo.
Hello, David Mundy. But
I'm not saying individually. I'm talking about collectively in the group. You know, you look at the guys around him. You know, in Sarong, Brayshaw, and even Luke Jackson in there at the in the stoppage. Like him and Fyfe together, are an absolute menace.
But there was a time when he had David Mundy and Lachie Neale.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that he just looked like, he absolutely got to focus on what he's good at. He didn't even didn't need to contemplate getting on the outside or winning that kind of footy. He was just winning the hard ball and flicking it out, flicking it on. And then some of the 50-50 balls that he tied up, you know, he was the man chasing it down, jumping on top and stopping the ball, getting us another ball up. I just thought for 21 touches, a great 21-touch game. And, if you get that every week and you can stay fit, look out.
This is why you don't give up on a Nat Fyfe, Jojo.
No one's given up on him, mate. No one's given up on him.
You gave up on him. You absolutely did.
I didn't.
But this was our problem last year in the middle. Remember, you know, we had Brayshaw, we had Sarong, we had... You know, Will Brody, whoever else. But we were getting beaten for much of the year in the middle. It just, he steps in and just, it just all flows. It just wrecked. Caleb doesn't get 40 without him, 40 million touches without him, you know. So he's just such a pivotal position in there, Jojo.
Just on in that centre square as well, I thought Luke Jackson coming in and being the full-time ruck. Oscar McInerney looked like he was just about ready for a lie-down halfway through the third quarter. He blew him up, and I understand he beat him in the hit-outs. What do you have, 10 more hit-outs? But the hit-outs that Jackson won, they were pretty much shoveled straight down the throats of our midfielders.
Yeah. That influence, that meaningful contribution from Jackson. Like, he can rove his own ball. And if he's not, as you just said a minute ago, we're hitting it down to Fyfe. And then, you know, he's kicking goals, he's laying tackles, it was one of those games where you just thought, like, you wonder back all those people that were saying, why would you pay that for Jackson? Why would you do this? The David King cautionary tale. Do you know what I mean? Staggering game, wasn't it? It was just, and whether Darcy's there or not, that's what we're going to get from him.
Yeah, no, but just imagine if Darcy's there. Oh. So if Jackson runs McInerney into the ground that quickly.
Yeah.
Imagine if you're throwing Darcy in there and as well. Other teams are going to be forced to play a second ruck, whether they deserve to almost be playing AFL footy or not. Because
that's right.
If they don't, they're going to get absolutely slaughtered out of the centre.
Yep.
And I think once you know, I think Melbourne learnt the lesson the hard way that Luke Jackson's not a ruckman. And the rest of the league's going to have to learn the lesson as well. You can't substitute in Luke Jackson with Grundy.
No.
You need to say he's a different kind of player. He's not a ruck. Yeah. He can play in the ruck, but he's not exclusively a ruck. And that's where his value lies. And that's why we've got a special talent and something that's going to be, you can really make an argument now that if he's not our best player, he's most certainly in the top 2 to 3.
Oh, he has to be. Absolutely has to be. I mean, where are we? What do you have? About 18 touches, 9 of them contested.
Just his influence, his influence over the game, it's just huge.
It's huge. Those grabs he takes, he's starting to clunk. But this is the thing. This was always going to happen. And it was just amazing that people couldn't think it or see it, he's just one of those talents that you just would never pass up. It's just crazy that people wanted to. So,
What also seems crazy is kind of not mentioning Caleb Sarong off the top. And he's, I think it was a record making 46 touches, the most a Fremantle Dockers ever had, eclipsing David Mundy and Peter Bell, who had 45 years back.
Yeah. Lockie Neal. Yeah.
What, Fife had 44 one time, I think, or 43.
That was it.
But he was amazing, wasn't he? I mean, we often have this discussion over who you're having as captain or whether you're sharing it or this, that, and the other.
Yep.
I reckon as we round the bend towards the end of the captaincy period of Alex Pearce, which will come to an end at some point, I think Caleb Sarong's up on his hind quarter and Andy Brayshaw's kind of dropping off a touch.
No, I disagree. I saw signs out there on Sunday, yesterday, why Andy Brayshaw is going to be the captain. If you watch him in the background, when he's near the ball, he's already doing it. He's guiding players. He's telling players where to go. He's already performing that role. And on top of that, I know we're talking about Caleb at the moment, but on top of that, that fierce intent was back, Jojo. That is that heavily contested possession, the clearances, the pressure tackles. He was that guy where he needed to be at the right time. It was 2022 Andy Brayshaw. And what I saw yesterday, if I could actually bet on him being the next captain, I would. I'd unload on it. I think he's still ahead of Caleb in that sense.
I don't think so. I don't agree.
What's a bet? Come on. Stokes?
Not a bet. What are they? Not a betting man. I got to be.
Oh, God.
Not a betting man.
Not a betting man.
I missed out putting a bet on Just St. James in race 3 at Pinjarra last Thursday. Missed out on 7-1.
It was nice of you to tell the listeners that, Jojo.
Well, I wasn't confident.
$7 I got, I bet.
Yeah, I know. No, but how good Tomo, that we can have a conversation. Rather than thinking about, this guy could be captain or maybe he's up to it. We're having an argument over who's the better option.
Yeah, it's a good argument to have, isn't it?
Yeah.
So
I thought Hayden Young, probably definitely eclipsed by Sarong, and I thought probably Fife as well on the day. Really solid outing from him as well. 10 tackles he had.
I know.
And so the physicality and free kicks he gave away were also a highlight, I thought. Every time he went in, it looked like he was taking the guy high, and he gave a couple away. But he went in hard, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. 11 clearances. Yeah. But he's what we needed because he's the difference. He plays a different role to Brayshaw and Sarong and Fife. So he's a vital part of that midfield. Probably going to have to go back now, given what happened on the weekend. But I thought his game was exceptional, and he's getting better and better. So, but you need that point of difference, and that's him, Jojo.
Just before we speak about the backs, what do you think about the wings? Sharp had an okay debut. Wasn't spectacular. I thought his disposal probably let him down a little bit at times, but I thought his positioning and he was good. I think his work rate was really good. He was getting back. He took a couple of marks and was back on the goal line a couple of times defensively, which helped us out.
Yep.
I think he looks like he's going to be a decent enough option for us on one of those wings with a pretty good scope for improvement.
Yeah, he's going to come on. He's going to improve on that yesterday. Got it 18 times, Jojo. Most inside 50s for Freo with 8 and second on the ground to Danaher with 10. and second to Luke Ryan with 479 metres gained. So what more do you want from your winger? If you can hit targets.
No, that's what I mean. No, I think he did really well. But I just thought a couple of times that maybe his disposal, and the same with Erasmus when he came on, it, lacking maybe possibly a little bit of composure with the ball in hand, and maybe the game will slow down as they play a few more games in the purple.
Yeah, that's right. No, you couldn't. I didn't think you could fold him. So,
Matty Johnson a bit quiet. He only had 11.
Thought he struggled a bit.
Yeah.
I thought he didn't seem to, you know, last year you saw him and he'd get the ball and he'd stand up in the tackle and he'd still deliver it to a teammate. He kind of wasn't able to do that as much and wasn't hitting the targets that he's shown us that he can. So I thought he just looked a bit off the pace. Just looked a bit, but did a couple of nice things, but wasn't the Matty Johnson we know.
The headline going back, obviously the thing everyone's talking about are the injuries. I know Brennan Cox played forward, but it obviously affects the defensive depth. Oscar McDonald, unfortunately, in his first game for the club, looks like he's done a knee. We don't know how serious yet, do we? Have I missed that? They're saying it could only be an MCL, not possibly not an ACL, so it might not be catastrophic. But either which way, it's still not good news. And it's going to mean an extended period on the sidelines. We're kind of fortunate in this respect that we've got someone like a Luke Ryan who gives us a bit of defensive flexibility. And he was awesome on the weekend.
Oh, he was crazy good.
He was incredible, wasn't he? But, I mean, what do we do? What do we do back there?
Well, I think Hayden Young's got to go back.
And Draper's been the one that they've mentioned as coming in.
Well, what happened to Brandon Walker? I know he's not tall.
He might not be 100%. He was playing at Peel on the weekend, wasn't he?
Did he? Did he play at Peel?
I think he was listed to play for Peel.
Right, okay.
In my absence in life, I haven't checked. I'm sorry. I think he must be building. Yeah. But, I mean, he's not going to solve your key defensive issues either.
No, he's not going to do that. No, I was just wondering where but for Carl Warner?
Yeah. That was nasty.
For 1 week.
What do you think about that? Like, that was, I think it was Lincoln McCarthy coming through. He went straight at the footy, but is there any you would have watched it on TV. Was there any mention of like a duty of care to watch the head as you're coming through, or is there anything in that?
Fair hit. It was just unfortunate. Fair hit? Yeah. Okay. I'm not Link McCarthy's not.
It didn't look good live.
No, it didn't. It looked terrible, didn't it? But Link McCarthy's not a sniper. He's not a
you know him personally.
I've watched enough of his games, Joe. I don't think we can tell. But I think if you watch it, it's two blokes going for the ball.
Yeah.
Contact sport, you can't avoid it. Every head hit, you know, as much as we're trying to. I don't think you can regulate the game for that unless you want to make it a non-contact sport. So, play on.
In terms of other options for defensive cover, because we wanted to get someone in.
Yeah.
Is my man Tracy any chance to go back and Tabs coming in? Can I get Tabs in the team somehow?
Your man
Tracy was good up. He was good up forward in the end.
Do you owe him an apology?
I don't owe an apology because I thought there was a couple of times where he did some of the things which I've been critical of him for. Like a couple of times he was caught behind, didn't make a contest a couple of times. But as the game wore on, he got more into it and ended up delivering. But in the end, obviously played a very good game. But I thought our forward line at the beginning of the game, that was part of the reason we struggled as well.
Yeah, it probably was.
But get to the forward line in a minute. Do you think he's any chance to go back, or is that just a coaching kind of pipe dream?
I think if it was to happen, it had happened mid-game.
You wouldn't go into the game with him being the option?
I don't think so. Do you really? I think it'd be probably too far out of the thinking, too far out of the box. We mentioned it going back late last year, that is that a possibility? If he can't hold down that spot up forward, could he go back? So, I mean, I guess there's a school of thought around it, but it's how do you – can you do that straight away? Or do you need to go back to Peel and try it out? Or how do you make that work?
Yeah, I don't know. We do need a second tool. So, you think you just roll with Draper in his first game? I mean, I'll tell you what, for all the criticism that Pierce got last year, and we were probably – there and thereabouts when he was having a poor game. He was so good.
I'm not sure Brisbane aren't a lot further in front when you said they should have been.
Without
Alex Pearce.
Yeah.
He was exceptional. And I've got to hand it to him. I've got to walk back. I've always sort of questioned, oh, I don't know whether he can be the captain in that role. He definitely can. He definitely can.
Absolutely.
That was a captain's game yesterday, big time. So, yeah, maybe if we're playing North this week, maybe it's a time to blood Draper, you know?
He's kind of been knocking at the door a little bit, hasn't he?
Yeah.
He has seemed like the next man in for a while.
Yeah, he did. And he got a little bit of a few minutes in the preseason in the main games. So maybe roll the dice. And, I mean, we haven't got a lot of option, have we?
Well, no. I mean, Oscar McDonald was brought in as the cover for Brennan Cox, wasn't he?
Was doing a good job too.
Yeah, he was. I thought there was a couple of times. Don't be too critical of him, given the injury in his first game, but in transition, when Brisbane were moving the ball from back to front on the fast, like a kind of a fast break type of play, a mark was taken on the wing. And, you know, our key defenders, I think Pearce might have done it once, and I know McDonald did it once, running past the footy and not making contact with the ball and allowing Brisbane just to keep on going.
Yeah, right, okay.
It definitely cost us a goal once. We managed to salvage it and tie the ball up another time. Yep. But I don't understand our guys not making body contact and slowing the ball down. Even if you give away 50, it's better than allowing that quick ball movement and so much space up front.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, it's true. That's true.
Jordan Clark is the other one. You're often asking for a bit of a mongrel at Freo. Yep. I'm not calling him a mongrel, but he brings an intensity and a ferociousness in the tackle that not too many others do down there. And when he lays the tackle, he really likes to let his opponent know all about it. And he did that on the weekend. He's good.
Honed his craft in the off-season on Jack DeLeon. kept putting his head in the ground. So, you know, he was great, Jordan Clark. And he's just a set and forget, isn't he? You know, he's going to give you that every week sort of thing. And the other guy, Jimmy Aish, he was excellent.
Yeah.
James Aish was excellent. So he's got a bit of a license now, it looks like, down there. So what do you end up with? Nearly 27, 28 touches, somewhere around there. So, and he good using the ball well, marking it, good use of the ball. So, no, it was.
It looked like someone different was kind of picking up Charlie Cameron all the time. Was there anyone in the coverage they mentioned that was taking him more often than anyone else? Because he was non-existent.
No, they whether the collective got him or I think Jordan Clark spent a fair bit of time on him.
Yeah, he was there and thereabouts. Yep. But there was time when like Luke Ryan would cover him.
Yeah.
It looked like he copped a bit of a barrage of Fremantle defenders. But it got to half time. And during the third quarter, I think he got a touch after half time. He's like, geez, I can't remember seeing him.
It's so weird
for him not to be involved in the game one way or another.
No, he's always – and you were just thinking – you know, and I mean, I know I never really thought we were going to lose it in that last quarter, but when they kicked two in a row or three in a row, whatever it was, you just thought, oh, this could be set up for Cameron. You know,
I don't reckon it ever had that feel, though.
No, but you just know you can do that out of the blue when you're not even expecting it. But you're right. I didn't really ever think we were going to get rolled. Despite Pav saying there was still a chance, there was 4 minutes left and they were 30 points down. And they were
I think you're compelled to do that when you're commentating though, right? You just don't want people turning off. You've still got advertisers paying dollars for bits and pieces. Let's watch to the end.
You're your own man. Come. Just call it as it is. They had to kick 5 goals in 4 minutes. Come on.
Yeah, so, whose rule is that? Isn't it once it gets past a goal every minute, it's over?
Lee Matthews,
yeah.
Same amount of minutes on the clock as goals behind, you can win. So...
For them, I thought Joe Danaher was, like, even though Pearce had a good game, I thought Joe Danaher was pretty good for most of the day.
He's really good. Yeah, he was really good. Some of the length he can get on a kick. Took 12 marks, Joe, to kick 3 goals too.
Especially some of those ones he kicked from just backward of the wing. Like,
yeah.
They look like they carry 60, 70 metres.
Bizarre, isn't it? 10 inside 50s on the ground high, game high. So, yeah, no, he was really good. And the bloke that you slaughtered, you said he's no good.
Who's that?
Hipwood. kicked three goals, one.
Yeah, I know, but yeah. Seriously.
He's kicking him from everywhere.
Yeah, I'll pass.
You said give him the ball.
Yeah, give him the ball. He usually can't kick.
I know, he can't. That's what I thought. And then he slotted that one from 50, yeah, their first goal. And like, oh, good on you, JoJo. This is on you. Yeah. Nah, it was good.
The much maligned Bally Banfield, it's lucky he's in the squad on the weekend because he ended up going back and filling a role when we lost half our back line.
Yeah.
I think it showed the benefit of having him in the squad one way or another. He does offer flexibility and means that you at least get someone with a defensive mindset back there. I mean, if he wasn't in the squad,
he looked a little bit out of
order. Back, right? He did. But yeah. I mean, he's not. You wanted to put Switkowski back there the other day, but at least he can go back there. He's got some height, some physicality. He'll put his body on the line.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I just thought it's kind of lucky he was there so that you could put him there and just say, okay, that he's going to be the one that fills in.
Fills in. And he was pretty good up forward too before he went down back.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
he was decent. He pretty handy guy. So, so you're right. You do need those types to be ready to fill a hole if it happens.
Kyle Warner, he contributed to a pretty decent level whilst he was on the field as well. So it's a real shame for him that happened because he's kind of just making his way and finding his feet at AFL level. And that would probably definitely would have been his best game.
Yeah, right? Well, he was grabbing. It was his opportunity. He was grabbing it. I really like what he was doing. So yeah, it was a shame, and you just don't know. You'll probably miss 2 weeks. It was a bad concussion.
Yeah, so, but he was up and about after the game. He was walking around the boundary line. He had a smile on the face. But there's a mandatory waiting period now, isn't there?
12 days.
Oh, 12, okay.
Yeah, but you err on the side of caution. Mind you, I'm not even sure what extra time does. I'm not if it even assists.
You're not an expert on brains? That's
not
surprising.
An expert on concussions. Had a few, but... Not an expert on them, but you know what I mean. Like it's the hit there and then that does damage to the brain. But maybe there must be something in it, or is it just doing something to be trying to be seen to be doing something? I'm not sure.
No, so, I don't know. I reckon there's something in it. It has to help. Freddie's goal off the wing in the last quarter.
Oh, highlight of the day, wasn't it?
How good. And you could kind of see it coming. As soon as he got the footy, the whole crowd kind of roared, were up and about. Yeah, that was awesome. That's what you want to see a bit more of that, I reckon. Get him up the ground a bit, get him in space.
Yeah, well, because he got moved up to the wing for a bit. So that's where I reckon he's going to be able to do that quite often. But I had a heart attack, Jodo, when he kicked that goal. I thought he was going to do the Freddie flip and do a knee. With three of them have gone down, I thought, oh, don't do it, Freddie. Don't do it.
What, with how we've been going so far?
Yeah, well, we just lost three people. We've done a knee, a hammy, and a concussion. And thinking he's going to do the flip. He's going to be out for half a season. And Jai Amos nearly busted his knee on the goalpost.
Mate, that was pretty dirty from the Brisbane player. He didn't no need to touch him at all.
No, it wasn't great, was it?
Well... Yeah, they didn't show hardly any replays of stuff that happened on the day in terms of injuries, and I get it.
Yeah.
And bad decisions. But that one they did show.
Right.
Like, there was no need to put the arm in the back when you're that close to the post. Like,
no.
So
no, that's right. It was a bit scary because he had to go off and you just thought, oh please no, but he came back. He's top.
That's the impact on the game with 5 marks and 6 touches, kicks 4 goals, 1.
He is top drawer, isn't he?
He really is. You look at that kicking. I don't know as a Fremantle Dockers fan if I've ever felt so comfortable with someone lining up for goal and having confidence that it's probably going to go through.
I reckon he's even got Pav covered. You're not all the time you were that confident when Pav was lined up, but I'm with you. He is just, there's no one.
The fact that he took a drop, he kicked a drop punt from that left forward pocket.
Yeah.
Like everyone else is turning it sideways and laying it on its side and trying to bend it and do this, that, and the other. Mm. He just backed himself to kick it straight and it didn't miss by much.
Didn't, did he? Didn't. Maybe we go back to, let's wind the clock back to 1995, Jodo. Maybe John Hutton. I was pretty confident.
You just weren't confident you'd get enough of the footy to actually have a shot.
That's right. That's how he kept his percentages up. So, no, he was good. He could kick it. He was a pretty good kick for goal. But I'm still, yeah, I'm going to give it to Joy. We've never had anyone as good as him. So,
The one guy I was surprised when you look at the stat sheet and see how little of the footy he had was
Tommy.
Mickey Walters.
Oh,
and yeah, I just thought Michael Walters because he seemed to be quite busy on the day. And for him to only have, he only had 5 kicks, but, you know, he was putting a huge amount of pressure on. He was working his butt off up forward.
Yeah, definitely. I was going to say, if you hadn't seen the game and I showed you Sonny's numbers on paper, you'd be wheeling out your send Sonny to the Suns agenda again. That's what. Just the 6 touches, late 3 tackles. He was throwing himself around like he was a 20-year-old kid again.
He really was. One goal.
He looks so revved up, doesn't he? And really switched on and just he's just got that fire and that intent. And if he can bring that every week, he only needs that 6 touches. If he can deliver that influence.
Watching the game, you're thinking, well, if he brings this, and you know, when you're at the game, you're not on your phone checking stats and seeing who has this, that, and the other.
Yep.
Like, if he brings that, you just have him keep playing until he doesn't. Like, it doesn't matter how old you are. Like, he can fill that role. He offers so much with ball in hand and he can finish and do the rest of it. But if he brings that on the other side of the footy.
Yep. That's exactly right. Hopefully, we've learned our lesson and we don't go tapping our veterans on the shoulder again like we did to David Mundy.
And we let Sonny I don't know if David Mundy's retirement is classed as tapping him on the shoulder.
He got the tap on the shoulder.
The guy was about 75 years old.
Mate, that was the worst thing ever. I'm here till you kick me out the door. The next day.
Here's the door.
Yeah. No money wouldn't have changed his mind that quick. He got the tap on the shoulder.
So. You were about to say Tommy Emmett. I don't know. He was all right. I thought that.
Struggled.
He did, didn't he?
Yeah, he struggled. But that's okay. Like, you know, he's only third game or whatever it was. I think the speed of the game found him out a couple of times. He got pinged a couple of times. He just had one of those days. He just struggled to get into it. So, which, you know, if we can bring him along and develop him playing like that, you know, the team's playing like that, we can bring him along. You know, where's the harm? So,
and your man Switter, you talk about me giving people apologies. Are you going to issue an apology or?
Well, I don't really owe him an apology. He did what we know he can do. I was calling for him to do it on a consistent basis. That's what it was.
Not getting any more consistent than 100%. One out of one.
Do you know Tommy Fee? Remember Tommy Fee? Texted me today, gave me a clip, asked me, was Switter's performance up to scratch for me?
Really?
He did. That's good, isn't it? So, it's no coincidence yesterday's win coincided with Tommy's departure. No coincidence. I texted him, I asked him for some computer help and couldn't give me any.
I think it's just the on button.
But I asked him how to do a couple of things and he gave me nothing. And I understand now he's working for the government. Makes a lot of sense. So, anyway, good on you, Tommy. You're a good man, Tommy. So,
In terms of the way we played, did you notice anything different or anything
Yes, I did. I absolutely did. I felt we rewound the clock back to 2022. I reckon we found that defensive first pressure mojo that we had. You know, I think just the hunger and the desire and that. You know, the fitness was back where it needs to be, where it wasn't this time last year. And just that, everybody bought in and performed their role. Okay, we spoke about Tommy and maybe Matt Johnson, but it was just that buy-in, Jota. It was just that, it just looked like it was back. And I think maybe, is this fair? Unless we're on the fast break, what do you think? Unless we're on that fast break, do you think we maybe have to sort of accept that we don't have those pristine skills by foot and by hand to get it done without that absolute pressure game? You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I think we're okay. I think there's a few times when we're moving the ball forward. I still think we've got big problems forward of the footy still.
You reckon, do you?
Well, I think there's a few times you look and it's like the crowd's getting on the back of the guy that fluffed the kick because he's maybe kicked one inside out looking to hit a target 10 to 15 metres away on the inside when he should be kicking it long. But you looked long down the line or you looked long towards centre half forward and, you know, you've got a guy, you know, Brendan Cox will be back leading from about 60 metres away, so you need to kick the ball 85 to hit him. Like, I just don't know that our forwards were giving the guys with ball in hand great options for a lot of the game.
But that doesn't give you a chop out to miss a target at, from 20 metres
away. Well, it does because you're forced into not taking your first option or taking the best, you know, a good option.
Come on, and, man. These are AFL footballers, whether it's their first, second or third option, if they're under no pressure and you can't hit a target from 20 metres.
Oh, but there wasn't many occasions where
there was
no
a stack
pressure.
Of them. There was a ton of them.
Watch
the replay. Go back and watch it. That worries me. That worries me that we still struggle with that. There were times when handballs hit the grass.
Oh, definitely. You know? Well, that was more early on, though, wasn't it? The handling errors probably highlighted that first period in the first quarter. We were two touching, three touching, everything.
They
tidied that up as the game went on.
Tidied up a bit. Still not to a level that it needs to be if you want to play that possession game.
Well, I just thought when Jai Amos led up and took a mark, you know, there was kind of like a collective kind of applause from the crowd as if about time.
Yeah.
The forwards don't present.
No. Is that you reckon that's it, is it?
Well, I don't think it's that simple, but I think it would help. You know, if you look up and you got a Brisbane guy to kick to, or you got to kick 70 metres to the Fremantle Docker guy over the back, like it's a pretty hard kick to make, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely it is. So what are you saying? What, all of them?
There's a bunch of times that, you know, Tracy and Amos were deep in the forward line and we'd have the ball up on the wing. Why can't Tracy put on a block for Amos and let him run up the ground? Like, it still looks a little bit like every man for themselves and kick it on my head and I'll take a hang.
Okay.
It was a lot of stagnation. Let's get some movement.
So then in a way, it's pretty good that that's occurring in terms of that we played as well as we did. So there's substantial upside if they get it right.
Yeah, I think so. Well, I think if you could add Jackson into the forward mix a little bit more. I'd still like to see. I know Tracy had a really good game, and he pinched hit in the ruck. He was really good as pinch hitter in the ruck. Thought he did a really good job in there as well. But I'd like to see him do more of the workhorse type stuff. Like, good for him that he kicked three goals. But if you're going to be
he did a fair bit of that. You're being a bit hard on him.
No, but off the ball, the selfless running, the blocks, the dummy runs, the dummy leading to create space. Like, a bit more of that.
He's involved in a bunch of score involvements.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I'm saying he did have a good game. I just think in terms of our forward line functionality, it could work a hell of a lot better.
Cut him some. He's 21, Jodo. Cut him some slack. You've been a bit harsh on him. Very, very
harsh. Sure.
Hang on a minute. You're calling him out after the game you had yesterday. All I'm asking for is people to hit a 20-meter target, and you're saying, "Oh, that's not fair."
Well, I just think our ball use and the speed of it and the efficiency of it is the thing that ends up getting spoken about. Yeah. And I don't think it was something that you'd bottle and say, let's roll that out again from the weekend. Like, it wasn't perfect.
No, it wasn't perfect. That's right. It wasn't. But, I think it's a big improvement on when the club plays the way it did, and when the individuals play the way they do, we can get away with a bit of that.
Oh, sure. And, like, footy's not perfect, so you're never going to be perfect. But I think if you're looking for areas of the ground that we can improve, I think the back line was really solid on the weekend. There were periods really early on where they were under siege. Like they had to stand up. And where you spoke about Pierce leading the line there,
yeah.
I thought the midfield was really strong. They were combative. Mm. And then even that last quarter when you said, you know, they kicked a couple in a row and you start to think, oh, what's going on here? They stood up.
Yep.
They won a clearance. Yeah. We kicked goals. Mm. I'm just thinking like the improvement in the ground is still in the same areas.
Comes from the forward line. Yeah.
Yeah, the forward line and the wide areas, the wings. Like that – we're still needing to improve in those same areas that we were deficient in last year.
Yeah.
And that's I think that's the forward line could be still a personnel thing. You know, with Darcy missing, we would have trained pre-season, I'm sure, for Luke Jackson to be spending a hell of a lot more time there. And maybe Tracy slips into a different role if Jackson's there. I don't know.
And by the sounds of things, Sturdy spent all pre-season there. And now he's not even in the team. So it's
You're not too surprised by that, though, are you?
Like, no, I'm not. That's what I'm saying. If he was part of the drills for, you know, all pre-season, and then he doesn't, he's not going well enough to make it. So it's just trying to. You're right, personnel issue, but trying to stabilise who's up there, who's going to be up there, and who's going to get it done. So,
well, I think that the mix is right, having the three talls. I think that works. So a bit, does Tabs come in?
So, I was just going to ask you. I guess he has to, doesn't he?
Well, unless you do play a Sturt.
Well, did Sturt play a Peel, I wonder? Do you know?
Well, they haven't played any games yet, have they? They would have just played a practice. I think they would have just played a Scratchy or something.
Oh, Scratchy or something. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we were tossing up whether from that last preseason game, whether Tracy or Tabs was going to get the run.
Yeah.
And so I think we did say we'd run with Tracy. It's his spot to lose. Yeah, I'm not sure.
To be honest, I can't walk back my comments. I probably would have still started with Tabs, I think.
What is it? Has he got incriminating Polaroids of you?
Who?
Tabs.
Oh, no. We did play a game. Was it round one? Oh, no. That's the girls. No, I just think that for how we set up and for what he was potentially... Who? Tabs.
In that game. I know it's a preseason game, but he was woeful.
But, I mean, I don't want him... He was playing pretty deep in that game, wasn't he? Like, he was doing the same thing where he's wrestling the fullback.
Yeah.
Like, that's not the Tabs I want in the team. I want Tabs up at centre-half forward, running, you know, up to half-back and linking up and working hard back and then coming back and creating a bit of space. That's what I think our forward line lacks, is movement and space.
So, but, I mean, if that's where he was, what he was doing, he's preseason. He's probably going to bring that into the real stuff if he did get a gig.
Yeah, but Amos wasn't playing in that game.
Oh, that's true. That's true. I forgot about that. Or Jackson or... Yeah. Okay. So, you're bringing Tabs in this week?
Yeah, I think so. It doesn't feel like a sensible decision.
We're a bit hamstrung, aren't we? In more ways than one.
Yeah, a little bit.
But a little bit.
I think if it's a choice between Tabs or Sturt, I'm probably choosing Tabs.
Yeah, it's a coin toss. It's, you know, I don't think
it's a danger game for us. North Melbourne, we dropped this one last year, and it was in Perth.
We did, and they'll come over here, you know, believing they can do it again for sure. So
why are they coming over here for?
I mean, in the next time we play them. I mean, we'll go over there. It's over there, isn't it?
Jeez, if they come over here, there's no chance.
No, we might. I mean, you play Tabs and Sturt. I don't care if they come over. No, it's they weren't woeful.
They weren't. I mean, The Giants are a damn good team, aren't they? So
very good.
I think they've made that pretty obvious early on this season. When they go down by 40 points or something like that. So
yeah.
I mean, the thing about North and us, we've had a pretty good record against them in previous games, with the exception of that last encounter in round two or whatever it was. Like, and we still had four or five more scoring shots from memory. Like, it wasn't like they played us off the park. We just had an absolute stinker.
But yeah. we still should have won that game, even as bad as we
played. Yeah, absolutely.
We had our chances and didn't do it. So, yeah, I mean, the injuries make the game even more interesting than what, or probably closer than what it would have been. I think if we got through unscathed, we go over there fairly warm favourites. But I think it's a lot closer than it was going to be now. So, and I guess that'll depend on the ins, does Draper get in or whoever, but it just unsettles you when you lose three like that that are vital.
Well, especially when you add it to the ones we've already lost. I mean,
exactly.
It's getting to a critical mass point.
It is.
Like almost, isn't it? With when you consider Chapman's probably out for at least another 3-4, Darcy's out for another 3-ish, and then you lose Cox, you lose McDonald, who's your key defensive cover. I know Warner's not a guy that you'd mention in the first 15 or 16 guys picked, but, you know, he's filling an important role given Hayden Young's moved into the midfield and Wagner's out injured because...
Wagner as well, yeah, that's right.
We have lost a few, so they are battling
The only positive is, we'll probably cover this in the pre-pod, but North aren't that tall, are they, up forward?
No.
They've got Coleman Jones, reasonable. Alaki
Larky's the one, the only one you're worried about in terms of tools, isn't he?
Zerha, we can probably take care of him. Probably Larky's the one. So Pierce will go to Larky. So it probably wouldn't be too bad to play a Draper this week, I think. So, but up forward, as you said, you're running with. I'm going Sturdy. I'm going to give Sturdy another chance.
Really?
Yeah. Is that Marvel? His debut game at Marvel, remember that? Kick three on debut. He'll feel like he's at home. Sturdy.
Oh, dear. I don't know. He has to get another opportunity. Like, he's not generic because he didn't perform in a preseason game. But he's going to need to lift big time, isn't he?
Oh, he does. He does. On those preseason games, he really has to. If he can get back to where he was late last year, and then add to that, then he's a chance. But it just kind of feels, as big a fan as I am of him, it just kind of feels a long way back, doesn't it, from this point? You know,
if you end the season. It's probably not fair on him either, because it's like, well, what
no,
are we
I know,
saying?
But if you end the season on a good note, which he did, and then you can't make the team round one, I don't know, just it's a little bit of a concern. You know who the biggest winner of the weekend was, Jojo?
Who?
Ethan Hughes.
Ethan Hughes. Why? Because he got a game?
Because of the injuries. He was struggling. So,
I don't like to pick on Ethan Hughes.
No, I'm not picking on him, but he was struggling. But then he did the things that you know he does well, where he just puts his head over the ball and charges through.
Yeah, he had some moments.
Yeah, it's incredible. Good and bad. But you can't clanger it like he did. You know, you just can't. But it's great start to the year, Jojo.
And you look at our fixture going forward. So we got North. If we can take care of them. Let's not, you know, get too carried away. But you get over North. You got Adelaide at home the following week, who I think they'll pose definitely a stiff challenge, but it's something we should be up for. You get to 3-0, and then I think we're off to Adelaide to play Carlton in that stupid.
Gathering.
We're copying the NRL round.
Yeah.
And then we got Port the following week. So let's say you win your first three. You give yourself a bit of leeway to have an off game against Carlton and drop the one at home. Away from home against Port to come back here 3-2.
Yep. If we got back after five, we were 3-2 after five, we'd be jumping for joy.
You think back to last year and how we were on the back foot and it didn't work out. You come back here round six. Hey?
Yeah, we were playing catch-ups.
The whole way, right?
Yeah.
And you get back here in round six. You come back, you've got the bye. You can field, I don't know, whoever you want to play in round six at Optus Stadium on the – what day will it be? On the Saturday afternoon against the West Coast Witches Hats. Like, you get that win. You're 4-2. Everyone's happy. And then you launch your season from there, right?
Everyone's extra happy, especially me. $4.50 into $2.60, Jodo. To make the eight. $2.60 to make the eight now. So we're killing it. Absolutely killing it. Keep it going.
But, I mean, that first win was always key. And I think we spoke about that in one of the very few pods we did.
because you the get confidence. That win.
Yeah.
Yeah. The
all of a sudden, the lunch problems and the mobile phone issues. And yep. What else was there?
Pirates.
The pirate problem.
All those out the window. Never existed. Yeah.
No, never it's existed. Not a problem anymore.
And the fans are up and about. The fans are going to get there in their
aren't they?
Gazillions next home game. So yep. It does. It just picks everyone. If I could give a word, just a little bit of a word of caution to the Freo media team. They're going a little bit over the top, Jojo. Just dial it back.
Why?
Just
a fraction. I haven't seen any. What?
Huh? Just to dial it back just a fraction. I love their word. We just don't want to get ahead of ourselves. That's all. That's all I'm saying.
It's the Freo way. It's the Freo way, isn't it?
It is, isn't it? Just go like the clappers. So. Hey, Jojo, what about the we haven't spoken. The one-year extension that no one saw coming.
He's still unhappy about it?
Yep, not happy about it.
You'd be glad we didn't have time to do a pod before this, because you were gonna go silly on it, weren't you?
I absolutely no, I wasn't going silly. I just don't. What are you? I mean, you are happy with it, aren't you? You like it?
I don't really care, to be honest. I think it's a sensible idea if he's going to coach out the year, because if he coaches out the year and you're not happy with him at the end, I don't think he's getting sacked mid-season. I think that would have taken an absolute catastrophe of a start for that to happen.
Yep.
If you end up paying out 1 year of the contract extension because you want to replace him at the end of this year, it's not the end of the world.
No.
And at least everyone can operate in peace.
No, it's terrible. It's
isn't it like almost a community service? We don't have to hear every week about how he's out of contract. When's he going to re-sign? He's representing himself. He doesn't have an agent.
Yeah.
Like everyone shut the hell up.
Yeah, no, that's right. But it's like he needs a – JL doesn't need a chop out to deal with the pressure. The club doesn't.
No, I know. But the fans do. It's for us. It was a gift to supporters, so we don't have to listen to it.
No, that's garbage. You either back your guy in or you don't.
So what do you want him to do? You get a 5-year deal off the back of last year.
2 years. They should have given him a 2-year extension. That's 50 cents each way. And
this is 50 cents each way.
Yes, what we've done.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't like it.
What's wrong with that?
Don't like it. I just deal with it as a club. Like, do the year.
Let
do
you
it.
Deal with it. It's not going to be an issue all year.
No.
And then at the end of the year, you can extend him again after we finish in the top eight, and then it's not a problem. No one's going to complain about it. We're not going to say they're doing the right thing. We won't have to listen to those stories. It'll be fine.
He who forgets the past is deemed to repeat it, Jojo. Do you know who got a 1-year extension?
Why do you want to listen to it for? Do you want to listen to a contract talk about JL all year?
I just think it's something that the club could cope with, stand up, and deal with it. Deal with it in a way that Ross Lyon would deal with it, or Damien Hardwick, or one of those guys. You know, like, show a bit more strength and say, well, you know, be a bit arrogant about it when you get asked it all the time. And get a bit angry with it. I think that could work.
I think there's context to it as well. Like, the club he coaches is different to the club those guys coach, and he's got... You know, he's not a Victorian. He doesn't get that kind of protection in the national media. I think the only story around Freo, if we lost, would have been him and his contract, and it just would have been annoying.
It would have been worse if we lost on the weekend.
No, that for sure.
Yeah. So they would have gone harder. So that's how, yeah, I'm not. And as I just said, that's what's that saying? He who forgets the past is deemed to repeat it. Who's the last coach we gave a 1-year Band-Aid contract extension to?
I feel like you've researched this and then asked me the question on the spot with giving me no chance to get it correct, but I'll guess like someone like Jared Neesham.
Absolutely. You nailed it bang on. And it's one of the grudges I still hold. So I don't like these 1-year deals, JD. They're not for the reasons that you should be signing up a coach.
Yeah. Well, we've done it, so get over it. Have we won?
I'm over it. Moved on. But I'm happy. I'm wrapped that he's on board and he's not going anywhere, because this was always going to be the case. That we're going to have a good year this year, or a much better year than last year. And all these Justin Longmuir knockers, they're going to have to apparently they're the same as the Luke Jackson knockers. They're all the same people. So,
Chaya missed kicked 4 goals on the weekend, and he wasn't really given too much space or too much ability to kind of get involved with the game. He did it from 6 touches.
Mm.
What did he kick last year? Kicked 40 goals.
Mm.
He's on track for 80 this year. How many goals? No, but seriously, how many goals will he kick this year if he gets 4 in a game like that?
Oh, so on by that logic, you extrapolate Tracy out and he's going to kick 60.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, like, that was pretty tricky for him. He didn't have many opportunities.
No, I know. It's huge. But that's him. That's him. He doesn't – I mean, all last year, he never got over about 10 possessions. So he doesn't get a lot of opportunity or need a lot of opportunity to do what he did. So, but having said that, I'm still kick me 40 to 50 goals, Amos, and you've done your job.
Oh, for sure. I just mean, it's pretty exciting. He's going to have a very game exciting. Where he kicks a handful, or, you know, he kicks 5, 6. Like, that's going to happen at some point this year, whether it's North or one of these teams that, you know, North's lost their million-dollar fullback. So, you know, they're a bit light on back there all of a sudden. But he's going to, against some of the weaker teams, and Brisbane aren't one of the weaker teams. They're going to finish in the top 8, you would assume.
No, definitely.
So he's going to have a day out at some point. It's going to be very exciting. It's so hard to believe that we've got a guy like that. You would think at some point will be considered among the top 2, 3, 4 key forwards in the comp. Yep. It has to be with the way he started.
So what does this do then? I mean, it's probably a conversation for another day or a few weeks' time. But the Logan McDonald talk.
Well, I don't know. Watching Joe Danaher play for Brisbane, and I realise he wanted to get out of Melbourne, but
you don't really
cross anyone's name off the list if you have a good season this year, do you?
No, that's right.
If Collingwood Collingwood get a couple of injuries and they've got their 0-2 start to the season, and you know that draft pick ends up being somewhere around 10 or better, all of a sudden you've got some collateral to shake the trees, don't you?
Yeah, but I'm saying, is Logan the guy you go after now? Like, is it? What about the guy we're going to play this week? Cam Zerha has put his contract talks on hold.
Yeah, but that's not going to cost you much.
No.
But we've got collateral to spend. I don't think there's any benefit in us taking 3 first round picks in the draft next year.
No, definitely not. No, you don't.
Because if you pick a midfielder, how are they getting their opportunity?
Yep.
You know, Simpson's already going to struggle to get an opportunity through the midfield. Erasmus is going to struggle to get an opportunity through midfield. Johnson can't get in the center square. Yep. So, you know, you're going to get these guys on the contract for 3 years. They're going to look for elsewhere for opportunity. You're going to waste your pick, right?
That's right.
We've got to use that as almost an asset, not as a pick, and trade it in an upgraded position. And I think the most obvious position to upgrade at this point, and I've heard us talk, you know, we're in the conversation with Goulden and these guys, but it's a forward. Not right? It's somewhere in the front half.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. There's absolutely no chance of Goulden.
Would you take Ugelhagen over McDonald? I would.
Absolutely would.
Yeah. So just mean, you don't know how the season's going to unfold. You don't know how the Bulldogs are going to go. You don't know where that pick's going to end up, what we're going to have to offer. I just think that – I think pigeonholing us in for Logan McDonald at this point may be premature, although I'd be more than happy if we ended up using a collection or a portion of those picks to bring him in.
How do you – I guess another question with Jackson and Darcy and Sarong, how do you fit another $1 million a year forward in?
I think you need a dodgy home builder or a stockbroker in the city.
Hungry Jack's store.
Yeah, isn't it? What other franchises are around? Chicken Treat.
I don't know. Something.
I don't know. That's a job for Simon Garlick in the front office at Freo. That's not my problem.
No, that's true. Subway stores, they go right.
What?
Subway.
Subway store. Right. Yeah. I don't know. Surely, there's ways and means. Surely, isn't there?
Somehow. Paper bags.
But we should. Do we have cap room? Wasn't that the story? We did have cap space.
We did or didn't.
We do, don't we?
How?
I don't know.
How come it's Hayden Young? You know, 7 year, 9 year, 8, whatever it is. Do you deal with Sarong, Brayshaw? Brayshaw hasn't signed yet. No, he's the next captain. So, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, it's a conversation for another day. But I think they definitely. Yeah, if I'm them, I'm not taking the picks. I'm folding them into someone to add something to our forward half.
Well, the window's just opening. Our window is just about to open. So that it's got to be that. We have to go down that path now. So
yeah.
I'm with you.
I reckon that's about it. Did you have anything else over the weekend? I didn't watch too much footy, I've got to be honest. I watched a bit of the West Coast game before I went to a kid's birthday party. But
100-point belting, that was. Actually, it was 150-point belting, that game.
It didn't look like Port got out of their pyjamas. They were kind of still – they kind of just half rolled out of bed and got the chocolates there, didn't they?
And they nearly beat West Coast kicking points. That was I tell you what, though, I do not understand what's going on at Collingwood, Jojo. I can't understand that they've got Lachie Schultz. How are they not winning?
I don't think it's a Lachie Schultz problem, is it?
I think it is. I'm not sure, but he was the answer to their prayers.
How nice is it being on the other side of one of those trades? And I think I saw something on social media, the Purple Rain guys mentioned the same thing. But just being on that side of the trade where you can kind of celebrate someone else like stumbling or falling over or falling in a hole, it's usually us that everyone else is celebrating doing
that. That's right. And it's usually people get tired of celebrating us because we do it so often.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's right. It's good, isn't it? Because you're like 0-2. I tell you what, this draft.
We didn't even fight a shot yet. They're already 0-2.
I know. How good. You know, the only way in that game on, was it Friday night? The only way Lachie Schultz was getting a touch, he started picking the ball up to give it back to the umpires. But you know what, though? We're a bit hard, but Darcy Cameron took a mark 25 metres out and Lachie went up to him and pointed at the goals. Now, that that guidance, Jojo, that can't be understated. 40 points down, 2 minutes left in the game. Darcy Cameron had no idea what he was going to do until Lachie Schultz told him, kick the goal, mate, kick the goal.
And what did we end up – did we end up giving – we gave up Melbourne pick six, didn't we, in the end, as part of the Jackson trade?
Pick six, was it? Yeah, it might have been. I can't remember.
You imagine if somehow, like, Nick Dacos gets injured, Darcy Moore goes down – and Collingwood finish somewhere in the bottom of the ladder.
I tell you what, it's too small a sample size.
Yeah, but no, it's way too early. But I just mean, just like hypothetically, just think about that.
No, I know. But even if they don't,
It was pick seven. Pick seven, was it? But still, no, it was six because Jed Walter was a academy selection, wasn't he? That would be crazy. And then you end up giving up, what, like pick 10 or pick 8 or pick 9 for Lachie Schultz?
Oh, imagine that.
Redress some of those Luke Jackson articles of did they overpay or selling the farm or whatever it is.
Collingwood's cautionary tale, David King. but even if, you know, like you're hypothetical, there just looks something not right at the Pies as well. They don't look as hungry, or they might be a step off the pace at the moment, or they're not. Two games in, you know, we're not making silly. But I did think they'd slide. I did think they would slide this year a little bit. So
the thing is, though, you forget about last year and how many, you know, relatively close results.
That's right.
They beat the Saints by 6 points. They beat the Crows by 1 point.
Yep.
What else? You know, like there was just a bunch of games where they beat. They got over the last minute. The Crows by 2 points.
Yep.
The Bullies by 2 goals. You know, they got over Port Adelaide by 2 points. Mm. It's just you go down the list of their games. The Cats by 8 points. Demons by 7 points. Giants by 1 point. And then the Lions by 4 points. There's like a dozen games that could have gone either way.
Yeah.
It's like you don't get the rub of the green every year you play.
And no, that's right.
Yeah,
that's
sure. Right. There's a skill involved and there's a composure and, you know, the team that they are. There's the reason why they got over the line.
Yeah.
But it's not going to happen every year.
No, that's right. And the guys that got them over the line, the Pendlebury's, the side bottoms, the James.
They're
going
to drop off a bit, aren't they?
They've got to start hitting the wall. So, yeah, and they still haven't fixed up their forward line. They don't have a good forward line.
Winning a flag as well kind of clouds your judgment on what it was.
Yep. Definitely.
So, and I think like getting that future first was unbelievable.
Incredible.
It's a great throw at the dartboard. And sure, it might not pay off. They might win the next 20 games straight and finish on top of the table. But even getting picked 20 is fine. But still having the opportunity to say, okay, maybe they stumble, blah, 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 and we end up with a good pick, then how smart are we?
That's right.
Anyway.
And, I mean, gee, we missed him yesterday, Schulte. God, he was missed greatly, wasn't he? What could he have added yesterday?
I think in fairness, he probably would have had a bit. He probably would have contributed more than an Emmett in the forward 50.
Yeah, he would have done, but it didn't matter. We got it done anyway.
It didn't matter in the end, no.
That's right.
But I think we probably would have been a better team yesterday had he been there.
Don't say that. Just be arrogant about it.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, we didn't miss him at all.
We're running a narrative, Jodo. We're going to build this narrative till... When do we play Collingwood? Round 5, 6, 7? We've got to turn on Lachie Schultz. We have to turn on him.
Yeah, but it's not... I don't think it's going to be a thing, is it? Is anyone going to care? I don't think anyone will care. We don't play him. What is it? May 24th.
This is the problem. The lack of dedication today.
What, to just like hammering someone?
Yeah. People don't put their heart in it anymore. You know?
That's it.
No, it's going to be good, Jodo. It's been good. Great start.
Brilliant start.
Yeah. Oh, I got something else.
Yeah.
I can't say it just yet, but I'll just say we're just tying up the loose ends, you know, crossing the T's, dotting the I's. Got a magnificent company down Freo Way coming on board this year, going to generously support us.
Oh, great. So you're going to turn the podcast into the Yellow Pages.
What? The Yellow Pages?
They don't exist anymore?
Do they? I don't know. Phone books? No, we've got a really, really good company. Small company. It's going to be great. I should have more Thursday. And there's going to be a thing where we're going to get people to support them. And if listeners support them, we'll support the listeners.
I can't do Thursday.
Oh, for God's sake. you know we're in season, Jodo, do you?
Yeah, I know, but the landscape's changed. What about Friday?
What game do we – what day do we play?
Saturday. It's like Saturday at breakfast. It's a Saturday breakfast game at 10:45. How do we get that slot again?
Is that what it is?
Jeez. It's like, why don't they just not play it? Why don't we just not play it? Give the 4 points – save the carbon emissions from us flying over. If that's where we're going to play it, like, why are we bothering?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't even care. I'm more concerned that you can't do Thursday. Dude, what's happened to you? You've fallen off the cliff. You were the one that was saying, come on, when are we, for the last 3 or 4 years, when are we doing it? Come on, get a lift. Yep. Now, you were over everything.
Much like JL last year, personnel changes caused a bit of a disruption. We've had a few personnel changes here, so right. Just causing a bit of a disruption. Is that what it
is? But this is a problem. And like last year, you can't leave the carrying of the burden to people that aren't capable.
Well, that's what I'm doing. I'm hitting the free agency market on Thursday. I'm looking to plug some gaps, and then we're going to get back on track.
So when are we doing? Are we doing it? When are we doing it?
Friday.
Friday. All right.
Okay.
It's a 10:45 game. They've got 5 minutes to listen to it.
You can do it on that, like, 2.5 speed one.
Oh, yeah. Put up, sound like the chipmunks.
Right. I might have some tips as well. We might have 3 runners at Binjara on Sunday, so.
Really?
Everyone get the notepad ready. Maybe I could play. We should cut this off. We've been recording too long, but maybe I could play Rob's updates if he does an update.
That'd be a good idea. Tomo would love that because he'd love to get that information before the race. He's paying off his fortune he lost on your horse the other day. Then you didn't tell him about the one that $7.
I had some sore. Shaka had some sore feet. He's been down the beach. He's feeling good.
And what was the other one? St. James.
Just St. James.
Just saying, John.
$7. Did a couple of things wrong. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure the listeners want to hear that now.
Until Friday when we preview the upcoming win against North Melbourne, are you still down with the re-stump?
Look, possibly, but let's not call a spade a pointy diggy thing. The birth of short extension comes from an uncertain marriage.
Start wearing purple, wearing purple. Start wearing purple for me now. All your sanity and wits, they will all vanish, I promise. It's just a matter of time. So yeah.